Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment, Romance.
Romance, bringing you the finest stories of the world's greatest romantic authors. Stories of the passion, the courage, the adventure of love, all strung on the bright thread of romance. Tonight, the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you Esther McCracken's delightful story of a young girl very much in love and the problems that confront her just before her quiet wedding.
To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Here's a taste treat you can enjoy indoors, outdoors, at work, or at play. The cool, long-lasting mint flavor refreshes you. The smooth, steady chewing helps keep you fresh and alert, adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious.
Now, here is the first act of Quiet Wedding. This is a story not so much of marriage itself, but of the hectic times before a marriage begins. The hours and days and weeks of feverish preparation, all leading up to the final scene. The quiet wedding in the conventional setting. The church banked with flowers. The familiar march from Lohengrin. The turning of heads, the hushed, excited voices.
Oh, my dear, isn't she the most beautiful bride?
It's all so lovely, I think I'm going to cry.
When you're a spectator at a quiet wedding, you forget all the trouble that led up to it. Trouble that begins in such a simple way. The trouble that hides itself under a simple, everyday remark. For instance, like this.
Janet, I'd like you to meet Dallas Chater, an old friend of mine. Dallas, it's Janet Roy.
Hello, Janet.
Hello, Dallas.
May I have this dance?
I'd love it. Oh, Dallas, isn't it a beautiful night? Just look around you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry? For what?
For thinking. Thinking about you. There's never been a girl like Janet. Janet makes living seem fun. Janet does funny things to my heart action and my knee action and my head action, and everything is beautiful when she's with me, and everything's a little empty when she's not.
Oh, Dallas.
So I've been trying to jack up that courage I thought I had so much of before I met you, to say, what are you doing tomorrow night? And the night after that, and what are your plans for the rest of your life?
Tomorrow night, I have a date. The night after that, I'm free. And as for the rest of my life, I'm open to suggestions.
Will you marry me, Janet? Quietly?
Yes. Yes, I will. If you'd want me to. Quietly.
To the beholder weeping in the third row, the quiet wedding is a thing of transcendent beauty. The bride of vision and satin and lace. The bridesmaids fragile apparitions and tulle. The groom a proper background for the splendor that is marching towards him. And the whole 20 minutes something spent in heaven, where marriages are undoubtedly made. The bride thinks of it like that all during her schoolgirl years. But as her actual wedding day approaches, her attitude begins to change. At least that's the way it was with Janet Roy the day before her wedding.
I wish I was in Tibet, way back in the mountains of Tibet.
Janet!
And the farther back the mountains, the better. I'm sorry, Mother, but that's the way I feel.
Did you have lunch with the bridesmaids, Janet?
Yes, Aunt Mary, I lunched with the bridesmaids.
Oh, and you saw their precious little hats or caps or halos or whatever they are.
I certainly did, Mother. And the Barton girls are dears, but I don't think their faces were ever meant to go with flowers.
Oh, Janet, this is most upsetting.
Mother, darling, please, let's don't talk about
them. But what's wrong with them? Are they too high or too low or too...
Mother, I've seen bridesmaids' faces all afternoon. I just don't care anymore.
Janet, is Dallas coming this evening?
Yes, Aunt Mary, I think so.
Lots more presents have arrived here. You haven't even looked at them.
Oh, Mother, you open them.
Oh.
Aunt Mary, did you hate getting married as much as I do?
Hate it? My dear, I reveled in it. I was the important member of the family for the first time in my life, and I had 12 pairs of stockings without a darn in one of them.
Well, I suppose the stockings are something in its favor.
Now, Janet, Mother is not going to listen to any more of this talk. I'm upset enough. I'm going out to the kitchen.
Aunt Mary, I don't want to get married. I don't want to get married at all. I don't know whatever made me think I did.
Oh, you're just tired, my dear.
You bet I'm tired. I'm tired of trying on dresses and arguing about underclothes and trains and hotels. I'm even more tired of watching the family assemble. People we didn't even know we were related to. And they all act as though they were coming to a wake.
In another 24 hours, they won't matter at all.
If that's just it, they will. All this fuss everyone's made seems to have killed something lovely between Dallas and me. But when I'm with him now, I can't find anything to say to him. He's just the person I've got to go through this farce with.
You're not the first and only person who's felt like that, Janet.
This being decked out for mating, it's positively indecent. I wish we'd run away when we first found out we loved each other. If we had, we might still be in love.
My dear, when this wedding's over and you're away from everybody, you'll find you're just as much in love as ever.
Well, I don't see how we'll ever find out anything. We're separated by miles and miles of white satin and those bridesmaids' hats and...
Hello, darling.
Oh, hello, Dallas.
Hello, Aunt Mary. How's the general production, ma'am?
Oh, splendid, thank you. If you'll excuse me a moment, I want to find Mildred. She wandered off a few minutes ago and hasn't been heard from since.
It isn't necessary to leave us alone, you know.
That's right, Aunt Mary. Mix yourself a fog cutter. I'll turn on the radio. What we need is music and soft lights and good company.
Dallas, that's too loud.
That's a pretty piece. What's the name of it, Janet?
My Romance.
I've always liked that piece. I used to play it all the time at the school dance.
How nice.
I was going with a girl named Beverly then. It was a favorite of hers.
Indeed. Was she pretty?
Pretty? Oh, a tall blonde with a walk like a tiger.
Really? Well, it's a shame I'm not a blonde.
You'll do the way you are.
Oh, don't do me any favors.
Say, what's eating you lately?
Nothing at all.
Well, I hate to monopolize the conversation. Besides, there are a few things I really must attend to.
Haven't we had just about enough of this music? Hello, darling.
I suppose you called her darling, too?
Who?
That My Romance girl.
Well, I'll be darned, you're jealous.
Ah, don't flatter yourself.
Oh, Jan, don't be silly. I was just kidding.
You listen to some ridiculous tune on the radio and go off on a tangent about some tiger you knew in school.
I didn't marry her, did I?
Oh, you probably wanted to.
If I had, I would have.
You're pretty sure of yourself, aren't you?
Oh, look, Jan...
Oh, please, don't touch me.
Well, that's a charming attitude, I must say. What's got into you, Janet?
Nothing.
Look, we've been talking to each other like strangers all week.
I don't know what's happened. Everything's different.
If you're unhappy, I think we should talk it out. After all, we're getting married tomorrow.
I realize that's what's expected of us. A quiet wedding. That's what they call it. What's quiet about it? It shrieks. My nerves are shrieking with it. I'm so bored and upset and... If you'll excuse me, I'll go help Mother.
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop behaving like a girl in finishing school. Janet, look. I love you. I can't bear to see you looking like this.
Please don't be dull, Dallas.
Why, you bad-tempered little... And I'm not sorry I slapped you. You needed
it. Come
later, Aunt Mary.
Well? What's wrong with her?
I slapped her face.
Well, that was tactful. Dallas, you are in love with her, aren't you?
Of course I love her, but lately we seem to be miles apart. I can't reach her. And then I get mad and I say things I had no intention of saying.
Shall I tell you what's worrying her?
I wish somebody would.
It's the wedding. There's so much wedding that the fact you love each other seems to have got lost. How often have you seen her alone during the past week?
Practically never. I don't think she wants to be alone with me.
Look, you take the advice of someone who knows far more about female behavior than you do. Come back later this evening, get her alone somehow, and don't let her talk until you've been making love to her for at least 5 minutes.
That's no good. I've tried it.
I thought you said you slapped her.
Well, I did, but that was after...
After you'd let her talk.
It's hopeless to try to get her alone.
Well, you could drag her off by the hair of her head, couldn't you? You'd better do something like that, Dallas, or there may not be any wedding. How about it?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I'll try, Aunt Mary. I'll try my best.
To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. The lively, full-bodied, real mint flavor cools your mouth, moistens your throat, freshens your taste. And the chewing itself gives you a little lift, helps you keep going at your best. So for real chewing enjoyment that's refreshing and long-lasting, always keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. Healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum will make every day more enjoyable.
And now, the second act of Quiet Wedding, as we return to romance.
Father, I...
Yes, Janet?
There's something I... Father, what would you say if I told you I'd changed my mind and didn't want to get married tomorrow after all?
Janet!
Oh, Mother, please.
I'd say, then don't.
Do you mean that, Father?
Oh, now, she's tired and nervous, Arthur. She doesn't realize what she's saying. For heaven's sake, don't encourage her.
Well, the idea has its appealing side. At least I wouldn't have Cousin Bob wheezing down my neck tomorrow.
Well, look, Father, I'm very serious, so please don't say anything you don't mean.
All right, my dear, I won't. I'll just say this. Once the guests arrive at the church tomorrow, you must go through with it. But you can change your mind any time up to then.
Oh, Arthur, dear, don't. You're making me perfectly miserable, and you know it's all nonsense.
I don't know any such thing. Oh. I mean every word I'm saying.
Oh, Father, you're a darling.
Yes, you're right.
Of course, I might run away and get married.
Oh, no, you don't, young woman. A romantic refusal at the last moment is one thing, but sneaking off and leaving everything flat after all the money I've paid out is another. Oh, no. No, if you marry Dallas at all, you marry him tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, wearing your full regalia, a dress costing $162.50, complete with slippers, veil, and so forth, standing afterwards under a marquee that cost $50, eating a handsome lunch at $3 a copy, drinking domestic champagne at $5 a bottle, with the exception of 3 bottles at $9 each for the bride's father and his special friends. No, I've paid plenty for this quiet wedding, and if there's any marrying to be done, I'm entitled to my money's worth.
Oh, my Arthur, you're wonderful.
Yes, you're right. Well, what do you say, Janet?
I'll have to think about it, Father. I'll have to let you know.
Janet.
Oh, how's my kid sister?
Marcia, how wonderful. Oh, I thought you weren't going to be able to get to the wedding.
Well, I just suddenly made up my mind and came. It was now or never because... Well, you might as well know it now as any time, Janet. I'm leaving Jim.
Leaving him, Marcia?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were so happy.
Well, I'm not. As far as I'm concerned, marriage is worse than prison. Did you ever stop to think what it's like to be married to one man, the same man, day in, day out, the same voice, the same mannerisms? Oh, after a while, you'd commit anything from murder to suicide to get away.
You were certainly in love with him when you married him.
No, I wasn't. I knew on my wedding day that I was making a mistake, but I was too much of a coward to call the whole thing off. All he talked about the day before we were married was some other girl he used to know. Can you imagine?
I certainly can. But why did you just decide to leave him now, after all this time?
I'll tell you why. I'll give you an example. Every night after dinner, we have coffee. Nothing unusual in that. But every night when it comes in, Jim says, "Ah, coffee," as if we never had it before. night after night after night. And that isn't all. Dinner's at 7:30 every night. Every single night, 7:30. And yet when the gong sounds, he always looks at his watch and says, "Dinner so soon?" Well, if that's marriage, they can keep it.
It doesn't sound very attractive.
Jan, I've been worried about you. Are you sure? I'd hate to have you make the same mistake I did. Are you absolutely positive?
Yes. No. I don't think... Oh, Marcia.
Well, if you have any doubt at all, you sit down this instant and write Dallas a note. Tell him there isn't going to be any wedding until you are sure. After all, honey, this is for the rest of your life.
Yes. Yes, it is. For the rest of my life. Marcia, I think I will write a note. It's the only thing to do.
Jenna, what on earth do you mean writing me this note saying you want to break everything off?
Well, you certainly gave me every reason to believe that you felt the same way I did. You don't think you can go around punching me and get away with it, do you?
Well, I'm terribly sorry about that, Jan. Honestly,
I'm not. You brought everything out in the open. There's no good our getting married hating each other.
But why should we suddenly hate each other? Only a few weeks ago we were enough in love.
I don't know, but it's happened. And it's happened before to lots of other people as well as us.
Not in this muddled, unreasonable way with no explanation. Janet, you remember that funny little cafe where we used to dance in the basement?
I don't know which one you mean.
You remember one night when we were there, we swore to each other that if anything ever came between us, we'd get away somewhere, give ourselves a chance to discuss things and put them right?
Really, Dallas,
But you didn't do it. You sent me an icy little note instead.
We can't go off alone now. It's too late.
No, it isn't. It's never too late. Come along.
I won't.
Janet, this is important. The whole future depends on what we decide to do now, and I'll be hanged if I'm going to let you break it off until we've discussed it properly.
Really?
Janet, if you don't want to marry me, you don't, and that's that. All I'm asking is that we give ourselves a chance.
So
we can't talk here. I've got one eye on the door and one on the window and one on your mother. Let's go miles away where we can talk. Janet, you've got to come. You've just got to. Will you please?
All right, Dallas. I'll go with you.
Still the best answer I ever knew.
Dally, isn't it a coincidence they should play this piece? That's the first piece we ever danced to.
I asked them to play.
Why?
Oh, I wanted to dance to it again with you.
Oh. Dally, don't hold me so close. What will people say?
People will say we're in love.
Oh, Dally, it's wonderful to be by ourselves. I feel much better. Really, I do.
So do I. We've danced long enough. Let's go out on the balcony and look at the moon, huh?
All right. Dallas.
Hmm?
I don't want you dreaming over your lost loves.
I've never loved anyone but you, Janet. I never will. You know, I'm not even sure who it is that song does remind me of. I just said it was someone beautiful because you were acting so stuffy.
Really, Dallas? Is that the only reason?
Scout's honor.
Oh, darling, it's a perfectly beautiful piece, isn't it?
Janet, I got an idea. What do you say we get married?
Well, it's worth a little thought.
Just look at that moon and those stars and... Well, look at all those lights.
Mm.
Hundreds of houses full of married people sitting together enjoying their lives. And life looks pretty good from here, doesn't it, Angel?
From where I sit, it looks wonderful. Dallas, let's go and look at our house, the one we plan to live in.
All right, let's go. that confounded light switch.
Well, try a little higher up.
Ah.
There. How do you like it, Dallas? You've never seen it with the furniture in.
It's a castle and it's mine. I'd recognize it anywhere.
And it's as cold as a real castle. Ooh.
There's a fire light. There.
Aye.
Now, let's sit down beside our first fire.
All right.
Comfortable?
Very.
Let's pretend.
Pretend what?
Oh, let's pretend it's our 10th wedding anniversary and we're entertaining, huh?
All right.
Let's see. Anne and Jack are sitting over there on the love seat, and Eva and Walter on the davenport.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire and Frank on the floor in front of the fire.
Oh, then we can't have Anne and Jack because they don't speak to Claire and Frank.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, then Gertrude and Fred are on the love seat, okay?
Good. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've just cooked a chicken dinner, and I've carved it.
And the dishes are piled in the sink.
And your hair's a little rumpled the way it is now, and your cheeks are flushed, and I'm thinking how very much I love you. And how good the years have been, and... Oh, and then someone laughs too loudly, and young Gary starts to cry in the nursery.
Oh, Dallas, no, not a boy. I want a girl.
Gary is crying. Someone to play golf with and wrestle with and take fishing?
I want a girl. To wear pigtails, play with dolls, and help me in the kitchen.
Sorry, we'll compromise. We'll have both.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Oh, Dallas, I'm so glad we came.
So am I.
If you only knew what it's been like at home this week. Telephone ringing, parcels everywhere, and endless fittings. Even my bedroom's been full of trunks and clothes and caterers, florists, expressmen, and none of them ever still, always popping in and out. It was horrible. Now I don't feel miles away from you anymore.
Janet, what was the matter? When did all this start?
I don't know exactly. I only know that suddenly it was there. And everything that's happened since has made it worse. Perhaps it was my fault. I didn't realize what a public event marriages are. And that Mrs. Somebody or other's present being in the right place or the bridesmaid's hat looking sweet is so much more important than a little thing like whether the bride is happy or not.
I suppose it's taken for granted that the bride is happy. Otherwise, she wouldn't be having a wedding. Look, don't you suppose this whole thing's been getting on my nerves, too?
Your nerves?
Didn't it ever occur to you that I might be having the same sort of problems?
Well, of course not. You're so matter-of-fact.
Well, just because I happen to be able to exercise more control than some people.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, see, there's something wrong with anyone who goes around crying all the time and about such silly things as whether the grain in the table is right and because Mrs. Tisdale's vase got broken.
Well, if that's the way you feel about me, it's a good thing we found it out before we got married.
I am merely trying to point out that I at least knew something was wrong. You were too wrapped up in your own feelings to care how I was feeling.
That's not true, Dallas. It wasn't my fault that every time we met, you started talking about trains and plumbing.
They were safe subjects, and you certainly haven't encouraged me to talk about anything else.
Oh, Dallas, stop being reasonable.
I will, if you'll stop being unreasonable.
All right, darling. Turn on the radio, will you? It's right behind you.
Okay, sweet. There's that song again. It's all you hear on the radio now.
Dallas, I knew all along I was being silly and unreasonable, but I couldn't tell you what was the matter. It was so far away.
I wasn't really far away. I was just scared to death. I realized suddenly that I was taking on a rather large responsibility. And then it was a busy week at the office.
Oh, I'd forgotten all about your office.
Oh, you mustn't ever do that. The office is very important. I shall expect you to minister to my comforts when I come home tired from the office. All the husbands and stories come home very tired from the office, so don't you dare forget about it ever in the future.
I won't, Dallas.
Then I take it there is going to be a future?
I take it there is. Dallas, do you know you haven't kissed me yet?
Well, that's easily fixed.
Dallas... Do you really love me?
Madly.
And will you love me forever?
Until the end of time.
Darling, I'm so glad. Isn't it funny how you can be so utterly happy when you've been so utterly miserable?
Very funny.
Dallas, I don't want to go home tonight.
What?
I want to stay here. I'm afraid to go back there.
Well?
We're all right now, but our nerves are still a little raw, and people keep twanging on them at home. We can go back tomorrow and let them have their quiet wedding.
We're sure now, aren't we?
Oh, darling, I never was so sure of anything in my life. But don't make me go back, Dallas. Not until morning. I'll be fine in the morning. You can have the bedroom, and I'll stay here on the couch. I'm almost asleep already. All right?
All right, darling. Whatever will make you happy. Okay, Janet, the coast is clear. No one's in here.
I'll have to hurry. They'll be looking for me.
Oh,
shh, don't make so much noise. I think everyone's still asleep.
They'll wake up soon enough. Jan, in a few minutes, all sorts of things are going to come crowding in on you again. People fussing and carrying on, and are you sure you're going to be quite all right?
Perfectly. I'm just thinking that in a few hours we'll be married.
I love you very much, you know.
Oh, Dallas, I love you so much, too.
Well, better not let your mother see you two down here so early. She wanted you to sleep late, Janet, so you'd be an extra beautiful bride.
Morning, Daddy.
Go on now, Janet. Scoot. You have a lot of things to do. This is your wedding day, as I recall. Or am I mistaken?
I'm sorry I worried you yesterday, Father. I do want to get married very much. I don't know what got into me.
Oh, nerves, that's all. Well, your mother threw the family album at me the day before we were married. I'll carry the scar to me grave.
Didn't it upset you?
I should say not. Then I knew she really loved me.
Well, Dallas, I'll see you a little later.
All right, darling.
Oh, and Janet.
Yes, Dad?
Better muss up your bed a little before your mother sees it.
Daddy, you're wonderful.
Don't forget, Jan, we have a date.
I won't, darling. I'll be waiting for you at the church. I know now that what I've wanted all my life is just a quiet wedding.
A few words between a boy and a girl. That's how the trouble always starts. And here's how the trouble ends.
I, Janet, take thee, Dallas, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward.
Yes, a lot of trouble ends that way. Or does it?
Remember, friends, to make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. There's lots of cooling, real mint flavor in every stick. And chewing Wrigley's Spearmint helps keep you feeling fresh and alert. You feel better, work better, get more fun out of doing things. So indoors, outdoors, wherever you go, keep some healthful, refreshing Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Romance is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and brings you the greatest love stories of today and yesterday. Tonight you have heard Esther McCracken's Quiet Wedding, written for radio by Gene Holloway and starring Harry Bartell and Sammy Hill. Editorial supervision is by John Meston and musical supervision by Alexander Courage. Next week, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the chewing treat enjoyed by millions, will bring you another story enjoyed by millions. It is one of the best known of all fanciful romances, the tale of Germelshausen. Be sure to listen to Romance next week when the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you Germelshausen. This is Bob Stevenson speaking, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.